This is RSVB Update, episode 423, recorded Saturday, July 27th, 2013. It ain't no thing. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVB Update, one of those shows online that tells you about something. Something you want to hear about.
Did you just edit out me saying hello, Shane?
Yes, I did, because you interrupted me.
I was just being eager.
This week,
everyone.
This week, Earth, and from Earth and the Informers, is here.
Yes, true.
And as is also Trekkie.
Yo, what up, doll?
I don't know. I don't speak that kind of language, but anyways.
You don't speak the jive
talk.
No, I don't. So, for those of you guys joining us, this is a pretty good episode for you to first start listening to RSVB Update on, if you're new, because this week we are celebrating the launch of RuneScape 3.
Tree?
Yes, three. As in one, two,
yes,
three.
Said tree.
Yeah, three.
You said tree.
You said tree.
I said three. Sometimes three comes out like that. Anyways. So, RuneScape 3. I remember when RuneScape 2 came out. What about you guys?
I was playing the game before you started, Shane.
Sort of.
I still remember Dragon Helmets looking like bronze.
When did that come out? What year?
I don't know.
2004.
Okay, because it started in Wow, that's almost 10 years ago. Dang.
All right. So as you can imagine, the primary headline for this week is RuneScape 3, now live. So, before we dive right into this update, any surprises for you, or did you guys pretty much expect it to turn out this way?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise, but hopefully it will get better with the Battle
okay.
of Umbridge.
Yeah, so that's one of the parts of this. That we want to talk about. And I think perhaps that's the most important thing that's going on with this, because it is, we don't know exactly what trajectory it's going to take, but it is profound. So much so that it teleports the game teleports all the players directly to Lumbridge, when you first log in to witness what's going on. Reed and I experienced that together, didn't we?
Where's my magic tree? Where is it?
I don't think I sounded like that.
Your magic tree?
Where is it? You moved it. Where is it? That's how you sounded, Shane.
Really? I don't remember sounding that irate.
You didn't sound irate. You sounded frightened.
Well, yeah, my magic tree was gone. I thought they took us back down to 4 tree patches for a moment. But anyways, you found it. It's just closer to the river now. And that's just one of the casualties of the Battle
of
Lumbridge.
It moved.
Yeah, I know. But it caused me great grief and concern for a couple minutes.
Well, that's not their fault.
I know, but I wasn't expecting it to move. I thought it would still be there, right behind the thing. It's also worth noting that the Lumbridge Castle now has several holes in its outer wall, and there's a big crater where something interesting happened.
A meteor,
very impressive.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. A big meteor of divine proportions.
It was not
landed.
A meteor.
No.
No, really?
No, you can discover what it was in the cutscene, and it relates back to that portal that was growing in the forest for a couple of weeks. So, you watch this cutscene, and it's pretty impressive. We already know that Sarah Doman came back after the World Wakes quest, so we knew that he was probably going to appear in that. But we were guessing last week about who was going to appear, and I mean it just had to be, you know, who we thought was the most highest chance of appearing, and of course he did appear, and that is Zamorak.
I'm a little surprised by that, though, because they're the two main gods, and whoever loses is gonna die, right? Probably.
You're probably
unless
right.
They do like a what does that pro wrestling or something where the people get beaten and then they come back for vengeance later or something.
Revenge later. Sounds like
something
from the afterlife.
Well, okay.
I don't think whoever
loses is going to be gone completely.
Well,
I think they'll be back.
You're partially right in that we're doing the bidding of the gods, and we could end up slaying the gods, and then we'd just be like the Klingons.
That was quick.
I'm sorry.
Push it out already.
All right, that's good. All right, so Sarah Doman and Zamorak battle together in one of the fiercest. Well, against each other in
there
one of the most fiercest fights in RuneScape history, I think. I said in one of the fiercest fights in RuneScape history. I didn't say most fiercest.
Yes, you did.
Oh, well, who cares? So, in one of the most fiercest fights in RuneScape's history, Sarah Doman and Zamorak fight together, you know, and huge eruption of power.
Okay.
Sorry, what'd you say there, Earth?
Against each other.
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay, whatever. So anyway, you're teleported to Lumbridge, and then you witness Zamorak rising from the ground, wanting to demolish and rule the world, and Sarah Doman says, nuh-uh, and rise, my minions, do my bidding, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah, and then we got this huge...
Again, please?
Say what?
Can you make that noise again, please?
Which one? B? I can't do it now. I'm not in the mode. But anyway, they're shooting each other with freaking laser beams coming out of their hands like Iron Man. And it's basically like when two Iron Men are fighting each other. When they're just shooting a laser out of their hand and no one's winning. But the way you win, the god can win, is if you start mining these tears of divine power to feed to one of the gods.
And aside from this, there's also a bunch of minions from either side going at each other as well. So, aside from the players contributing either combat-wise, or like you said, collecting the divine tears, it's actually an NPC versus NPC battleground in that center battlefield there.
But
so
you can kill them too.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, well...
It's like the gnome battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a way, because the gnome battlefield has been around for so long, seeing battle with the NPCs really wasn't that amazing. But anyways.
Well, in theory, better things will come. They said they will update this every single week, depending on what happens. And
question for you guys. Do you think that this is the beginning of a second God War, seeing that these two are fighting in kind of a limited fashion? I guess
actually,
in the real world you could
because if I remember correctly, it wasn't just... It was spread all over the world. I mean, it is just, I guess, the first week of it, but I do wonder if Lumbridge might turn into something like the Wilderness.
Yeah, and you know, it could very well be that the case. That's why I asked if this looks like a second God War. Because, you know, there are those other ones that are just sitting by, waiting, not doing anything. They could end up stepping in at some point.
Zaros is going to win.
Yep, I believe so too.
Nope, Saren wins.
What was that?
The pacifist?
I think Shane was... No, the elf.
Yeah, the elf pacifist.
Actually, if you think about it...
I don't know about
that. Hey, Shane. We're starting a new year, right, in the game? I just realized something. It's been at least... in the game, roughly 6 months since Edgeville was burned to the ground and it's still not fixed up yet.
Yeah.
That's bureaucracy for you.
Yeah, that's the perils of large government.
No, it's that... Well, it's not really no one cares large, for no though. One really cares for Edgeville. Think about it. Varrock has his own castle with a white tree of Gondor in it. Palador is like, oh, that's not my jurisdiction. They don't care.
It's the white tree of Gondor.
It's the one from your favorite quest, Shane.
No, his favorite quest is one from Picard.
Oh, okay, second favorite. My bad.
But, all right.
You know, there's one thing that kind of annoyed me a little bit while during the cutscene. You know how when you started a cutscene, you kind of like, and Zemarak kind of comes up and they're fighting Sarah Doman and all the NPCs are coming out too. And what do? You got to hide behind a rock. And I'm just thinking to myself, dude, I finished a world weight quest. I'm a demigod. Why am I hiding under a rock? I can kill both of them with one wave of my finger.
I don't know about that.
Hey, they're fighting each other. They're just, you know, go in the bag, probably poof out a Jigglypuff, have them sing, fall asleep, stab. All right, we're done.
Yeah.
I wonder if Shane remembers that Pokemon episode way long ago.
Yes.
No, that particular episode.
Yeah, the Jigglypuff one.
The Jigglypuff one. That's very, very specific.
I do. All right.
Where Gengar and Alakazam were giant versions of them are fighting each other.
Yes, I remember that. God. Is that what this reminded you of?
Yeah, in a way. Because you grab Jigglypuff, sing it, go to sleep, stab, stab, stab. All right, we win. Let's go.
Stab, stab, stab.
See, Shane, I just did everyone's little quote saying all in one sentence. Let's go. Move on to the next one.
All right. That's great.
You didn't.
So. All right, I don't know what that is, but so yes or no, second God War beginning, or is this kind of like
well,
maybe.
I think what may happen, since you remember you had the choice of either you either expose the knowledge, you either become more super more powerful, or you decide that gods should stay away from the deals of mortal men. So either, depending on how you progress through the storyline, you will, one, become the god that you wanted to be. Two, have the gods kind of be there, but be like a lesser role. Or three, you say, screw you, get out of Glenanor, and you slaughter them all. And then you make it like, then I guess it'd be your ideal world, Shane. Everyone take care of themselves. Anything happens, it's your own damn fault.
All right. So... we'll leave that one kind of hanging, but I'm going to lean towards the yes side, because it's entirely possible that other belligerents will get involved, because just look what happened with World War I and what that turned into. So this could kind of be like the same thing, I guess.
World War I happened because we decided not to join the League of Nations.
It's going to happen anyway.
Okay, So did you guys choose a side?
Of course we did.
Yeah.
All right, which ones?
Had to. Sarah Doman.
Same.
But because I don't like... I hate both of them, but I don't like Zamorak more because of the whole thing with Zoros.
He's a jerk.
Yeah.
Zamorak's a jerk. But jerks usually get all the power.
But I was actually very... I didn't know which one to pick because at least Zamorak states what he's for. Sarah Doman works behind the scenes. So.
See, I chose Sarah Doman because I figured there's got to be some animosity between Zaros now seeing him, that Zamorak is back, right? So surely the Zaros side would want to see Zamorak lose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose that. Tricky, why'd you choose Sarah Doman?
This camp was closer.
Okay. All right. Typical American.
Hey.
Hi.
So, after you choose your side, you can do combat or you can collect the divine tears using the three primary skills of fishing, woodcutting, and mining. So you donate these little tier fragments to your respective side, and you earn renown and votes. And then with the votes, you can decide what your side's going to get in a couple days. So it might be a combat boost, or you could choose to have the other side be, what's the word I'm looking for? Handicapped a bit.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. And then, of course, you also get these points from that when you donate the tiers, the renown points. You can use those to buy hybrid armor, which tops out at level 75. So basically a free set of level 75 hybrid armor, which if you're looking
It actually does level up with you, so you can buy it now. And when you get to level 20, it's considered level 20 armor. And when you get to level 50, it's 50 armor all the way up to 75, which is not bad. It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, and that's good.
And it's a good way for... Well, it is hybrid armor, so it's not particularly great in one aspect. But, you know, for someone who's, like, many new players who are short on cash, this is not a bad deal.
Yeah, and it's going to be better than Barrow's armor if you're just looking for a general piece of armor you can use. So I think everybody should pick that up. There's also an emote you can get, titles, and XP lamps as well.
And you also get little consumables where you can
use
in order to get more divine tears faster. But I have a problem with, like, it seems I'm stuck at 5. Are you guys stuck at 5 too? Or is 5 tiers per...
multiplier thing? Yeah. Did you upgrade the... What is it? The token or whatever it's called?
I got to silver, and it's still 5.
I don't know.
So it went down to 4.
That's one thing I haven't looked at. I put the token in my bank and haven't been using it there while I've been collecting stuff. So I should probably have another look at it.
All I know is it just upgrades with as you donate, it'll upgrade itself. And you can teleport to the thing. That's basically all I know.
Yeah. Also, with this, they said that the way they did the lamps is that they wanted the lamps to be cheap enough that it would be better off for you to do this activity rather than going off to train a certain skill. So let's just say you want to sit here, don't want to spend anything. They said, so this should, in theory, be a faster way of getting, say, construction XP than it would be to actually going to do that in the house.
I disagree with that. Unless they give you about a billion experience per lamp.
Yes, think about it. Throw in my pendant, the pendant's horn and a sacred hammer. You can get lots of experience really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And you know the lamps are, they're 1,500 each. The credits for the larger ones, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that takes a fair amount of time to get. So, I mean, you might not be better off, but for some skills, I can see it's fine. I guess perhaps I'd be better off maybe for the three primary skills that you're using to get the tier fragments. So. Oh, and it's also worth noting that these are these are the rewards for the first 4 weeks, and then after that, they're going to change again. So this is a multi-week event, and this is just phase one for these first 4 weeks. So You got lots of time to earn everything here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you remember, you can mine 3,000 divine tears a day, and if you're not afraid to play, you can get 1,320. Why do you come up with that number? I don't know.
Yeah, that is a fairly odd number, isn't it?
But
so what do you guys
honestly,
think of the music tracks in this area?
Very good.
I liked the cutscene music. It was quite nice, but I'm still like really ticked off with the whole I'm hiding behind a rock. That I can't get around that, man. Shoot, I'm supposed to be a demigod. I'm hiding behind a rock. Like, oh, this tiny piece of earth is going to save me. He decides to blast me with a fire spell.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I guess there are people who could be watching this that haven't exactly done the World Wakes
yet. I know, but
and free-to-play people.
Or don't know, read anything.
But that was just my little pet peeve.
Okay. What'd you think of the music?
Earthset
was good.
It was good, but you know, like everything else in RS, I usually turn it off right after it's done.
Okay.
So I listen to it for a little bit, and then I turn it off.
I've had it on, and I'm pretty happy with it, I think. So, definitely set a good bar for what the RS3 music can sound like. And you'll remember a couple weeks back, we listened to Scape Bold on SoundCloud, and that is actually the new music track that plays when you start the game up. So, very nice indeed.
Yay!
Another thing, moving on from this, outcome of this battle, multi-week battle, what do you guys think the outcome is going to be? Who's going to win?
Zamorak.
Really?
Yep.
You think?
Yep.
Ceridoman's ahead by 10 million right now.
Yeah, but remember, most of the Ceridoman people are the youthful bunch. The ones that, I gotta be good! And it was like, about 3 days, they would be like, oh, I'm so sick of this now. And what's gonna happen? Those who are like you, like me and me, who are super, super powerful, who are already Zamorak size, they're gonna slaughter everything. Heck, if they made this like a safe player versus player area, I guarantee you Zamorak would win this hands down, because pretty much you'll have about a clan of 200 people who max out on everything just camping at the entrance.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. Do you guys think that the Battle of Lumbridge is actually going to see more belligerents enter it, or is it just going to be Zamorak and Ceridoman until the end?
It's going to be Zamorak and Ceridoman until the end, I think. But, I mean, I don't think this is set up so that one of them can exactly leave.
You mean leave the game or leave the battle?
Leave the battle.
Okay. But,
so
but
I
like,
think
what
one
if
of them is going to die.
Okay. So,
or
so
lose.
But if they lose, what if there's only two things that can really happen in that case. After coming to the world, they can either lose and die or be exiled.
Or just lose but get away.
But that would be rather anticlimactic. I mean, if we're only like 6 weeks into this thing.
It is Zamorak, though. And they're very powerful and manipulative.
I know, but if we get that far in and this god comes back and it just leaves right away, isn't that going to feel kind of anticlimactic?
Well, no. If they do that, they'll be wounded in some way. So
okay. All right. You know, I I'd really like to see, like, say if like our prediction is gonna change so that Zamrak is winning near the end. Like, what if somebody like Zaros was to come in and help Ceridoman or something like that? Something really absurd like that happening. So
I doubt that Zaros would come help Zamrak. But
Armadale?
Armadale would help Ceridoman.
Yeah.
Yeah, until Zamrak and Zaros are defeated, and he kills Ceridoman and takes its power.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, basically what I'm trying to get from this is it's the Battle of Lumbridge, but we just declared allegiances for a god, and I want to know when that's going to come into play, because Zamrak versus Ceridoman, it just seems a little too conventional,
well,
you know?
Here's the thing.
Well, what else would they start it with?
Well, also, no, think about this in a way.
Well, no, because but I mean, just have our choices we made have some influence.
That everyone knows.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because you have to remember, Free to Play is in this as well, and I don't think they have any quests that even deal with the others.
No, they're forced to learn by going Sarah to church
Doman,
and whatnot.
Zamorak and Gothics.
All right.
Well, in my opinion, in a way, I think we'll see more NPCs from other areas coming over to help either side. Because if you think think about it, we just had two gods. That news doesn't, in theory, spread like wildfire, and obviously you'll have the white knights and black knights kind of like, hey, our god is here, we must go help, and blah, 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 blah. So I think we may see more white knights, maybe white knights and black knights finally fight each other instead of playing cat and mouse.
Okay, yeah. That's a good way of looking at it then. That's
a good
way to bring the gods into it.
Will come out of the Taverly dungeon.
I still have my elite black knight armor. I can be a spy.
Stab.
Technically more of hack.
Yeah.
You got blood in my soup. Anyways.
Soup?
Yes.
Soup?
So, you guys think Zamorak's going to pull ahead eventually? I know that's what Trekkie said.
Oh, maybe. Strangely, it says that... What? Oh, they accidentally a zero in it. Interesting. It says that... Well, Ceridoman is ahead by 10 million and a bit. But, strangely, the bar is almost even.
Well, yeah, it's huge proportions.
Yeah, but... It's... Eh.
All right.
Well, no, I guess that would be 60%.
So, Reed, who is going to win in your view?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do not know. The community is...
I will win.
I really wish that the community didn't make the choice. I wish I could have my own choice.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because what if the community does something stupid?
Well, you know, that's what they say, the wisdom of crowds. You get a bunch of people together. Yep, that's right.
Non-existent.
Yep.
Why do you think the Gothic's altar never got built?
Yeah, there you go. Remember the Gothic's altar? That thing that needed something like, 200,000 runestones, one... Per person?
Oh.
That's why. Why it never got built.
North of Falador.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oop, phone.
Yep. Is that bothering you, Shane?
No, but as long as no one's to go get that, that's a-okay. We'll just move straight on from that. So, next up, the new interface system.
You've missed, so okay.
Easy
what did I miss?
Nothing. Never mind.
Sorry, we're doing the new interface system next. We're going out of order from the news post. But anyways, so the new interface system. What do you guys think?
I don't like it because I don't play on full screen, and they want me to play on full screen. I don't play on full screen.
Look at Skype. I got one. Never mind. That's a full screen one. You don't want that one.
I've seen your other one already.
Yeah, that
copied mine.
I did?
You copied mine.
I thought you copied me.
No, I didn't. You blatantly stole mine.
Anyways,
oh, you didn't.
So the new interface system. You guys go first.
Always room for improvement, which is why I
like
the competition.
But it sort of makes my monitor feel small. And I have a 1920 by 1080 monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
For me, always room for improvement, but hopefully the RSVNB crowd were able to make some new ones, or you guys a couple submissions already, so let's see what happens at the end of August.
Ooh.
Okay. I personally think it's a much needed refresh after years of the same standard UI. I mean, if you look at it, the UI really hasn't changed since RS2 came out, and it was really starting to show its age.
I mean, when HD came out, then it sort of changed, but it was...
It still had all the pains, they were just arranged differently.
Yeah. Well, so does this.
There's two sides towards interface design or website design in general. There's the visual aesthetic side, which is what I say changed going from RS2 to RSHD. And then there's what's called the flow of, anytime you start with an interface, you design what's called a flow. So where do you start, and what is the flow to accomplish a certain task? So with this, they change the way you do things in-game, primarily starting with this little bar at the bottom that has the 8 icons on it. And then you open up all the different... panes from that, or you can go to more general overview type panes and drag them out from there. And that's what's changed from it. And, you know, they could have went further, but they kept a bit of the common thread from before, which is good because that makes it feel like something, you know. So overall, I'd say it's pretty good. If anyone's interested in seeing this other UI that I put together that I've been using recently for the smaller screens, just head on over to RuneWire or check this more complete show notes of this picture here. Basically, what I did is I assigned keyboard shortcuts to everything so that you only need to press keyboard shortcuts to pull up a certain panel, like an inventory or the backpack or the skills or something like that. And then when you do that, it just appears in the lower right-hand corner, kind of similar to how it used to do it. So it retains that common thread as well. And the map is small, and it brings back the transparency that was when RSHD came out, just because I like that. So that's the setup I'm using. Another nice thing I noticed, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the settings now persist across clients. So if you go on your Mac and you set your keyboard shortcuts up and you set up your UI layouts, specifically for the action bar and whatnot, those settings will be downloaded to your Windows client whenever you log in, which is something that didn't happen before. If you would, say, have two computers, you would have to set up your action bar keyboard shortcuts on each one. So that's nice to have the settings be consistent across multiple clients.
Yeah.
Feel better?
Have you guys...
Feel better?
Yes, I do. I love this part. This is my most favorite part of the update.
You're such a tweaker, Shane.
I know. I love this. Apparently 35% of the RS population does as well.
Yeah.
So, have you guys noticed any quirks?
Me? Yeah.
What have you guys noticed?
Well, for one thing, every time I log out, my friend chat thing disappears. I gotta re-log in. And it was kind of annoying. I had to play around with it since I used, you know, two different computers. It's hard for me to set my thing because then the chat box gets too small, so I gotta readjust it. But that, you know, affects the other one too. It's like there's no winning with this for me right now. While in the dungeon, I kind of noticed it was getting a little slow, even for me. And there's some graphical things that just like a little pet peeve, but hopefully they get all ironed out.
All right.
Especially in port. Something weird happened in port the other day. Everything kind of disappeared for a second. And it
wouldn't pop back out. That was a black screening bug, wasn't it?
Actually, I experienced that before. And I could still move around. I just couldn't see Jack.
That's weird.
And I'm kind of hoping they add some more shortcuts we can use. And please, Jagex, more action bars. If we're going to do this, give us more action bars.
Yes. Yes, that is something that could have been done with the new interface system, is having multiple action bars up at the same time.
Hey, if you really want to make this completely OP, you should release like 300 new skills we can use. Some are stupid and some are like super uber powerful and some are zom, oh my god, OMP. And just give us, we can use 3 action bars at once and see just what will happen.
You know what would be nice would be to see weapons and armor give abilities as well, and then you could put those in the action bars.
Now that would be cool.
Yeah, have a for your skill, for your ranging, if you're ranging something, you have something called the hidden shuriken. Every once in a while, you have the ability to split out some shurikens at the enemy, and you have a chance of hitting them in the eye, causing blindness. Yep.
You're
throwing darts, and then suddenly it's like, you know, like a little Boba Fett thing. Or the hidden rifle, or the hidden hidden pistol in the glove. Flying sword attack. Hadouken.
Hunter Slimo. Right?
Alright. Earth, do you have any things you'd like to have changed with this, or?
No, I'm happy with it. I really like it.
Alright. For me, personally, there's only really two things that have been annoying me with the setup so far. And the first one is that it seems as though chat colors are being ignored for private chat. I tried to set a different private chat color.
Yeah, I can't split that. That was one thing. And then another thing, when you talk to an NPC, it just seems to be floating there, that box.
You can move that.
Yeah, no, but there's really no place you can put it.
I put mine above the action bar.
So did I, but say you're in a cutscene, you're not going to have the action bar there, so it's just awkwardly floating.
Yeah, that's true. Another thing that people have complained about, and I agree with this one, is that you can't minimize chat panes entirely. Like, there's no way to make the chat window disappear completely like you used to be able to do, which I think would be something that would be pretty good to have. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then one more is a bit more technical. It would be nice to be able to adjust the anchor points of the HUDs. So basically this means if I resize the window, which way is the HUD going to go? Is it going to stick to the top, or is it going to resize with the bottom of the screen as well? So if you have something in the bottom and you anchor it to the bottom, when you make the window bigger, that's always going to stay on the bottom. That would be nice to have. But aside from that, yeah, you can lock it, but there's no way to manipulate that anchor point. It just does it by whichever one it's closest to. It'd be nice to have manipulation for that. But overall, I'm very impressed. Like I said, this is the best update for me so far this year to RS, and even after the farming update. So, very pleased with it.
Wow.
Yep. All right. Anything else on the new UI?
No.
All right. Let's talk about the website.
Woo!
Thoughts on the new website?
A lot better than the old one.
Okay. Trekkie?
Whoa, that's awesome. If you're logged into the game, I think it will log you into the website, too.
Yeah, it does, and it can show you your friends list that are also online as well.
Not for me, it doesn't. Again, I am using the client.
Yeah, I'm using the client and it works.
Not for me.
Although maybe that's because I accidentally opened it in Chrome a minute ago.
Yeah, that could be it. One nice thing they did with the website is you can see your friends who are online currently and what world they're on.
Couldn't you always do that?
I don't know.
You log in. When you log into the game itself and you go to the lobby, you could.
Yeah, but on the website.
I know you could see clan members who are online.
Yeah, you could, but I don't think you could see real people.
Are you implying that my clan members aren't real people, Shane?
No, I'm not, actually. Yeah, I can see who is online. If you just hover over the amount of people online, you can see your friends who are online. 5 of them right now. We got Mike is on World Lobby 2, Le Canard, yes. Dreadnip, Metal Maniac, and Devo, all on various RuneScape worlds right now. So you can see that when you log
in. So I'm not one of your friends, Shane?
It's not showing you.
Shane.
Yeah, it's not showing you as online. Right now. That's very weird. Maybe if I click view all friends, it will do that. I don't know.
Okay, so let's wrap this up.
I'm not done with the website yet.
You're not?
No, I'm not. Because I personally agree with you there, Earth, that the website is a good change. They got rid of that active background as well.
A lot of other people have said that too. Oh, they could make a new motto for it, couldn't they, Shane? They need a motto.
Really?
So good, even Bonsai likes it.
That was cruel.
Accurate?
All right. Overall, good website. The font weights are a little off in the news postings, but I'm sure that could be tweaked with time. And the same flow, which is good and bad in some places, specifically the news posting. The news postings were always hard to navigate on this new website, and that is unfortunately still like that here. So
it's a little better, though.
Yeah, a little
bit. You don't
bit.
Have the weird buttons that expand, and this is a lot better.
So the community high scores now have a seasonal option.
Okay, and cool.
Yay!
And there's a bunch of little interesting things going on right now. For example, red imp kills. This is a daily thing, so whoever kills the most imps in a day ends up on this high score. Somebody currently has 30,000.
Really?
Yes.
He killed 30,000
per day?
I guess. That's what the score says, unless it's different.
Where That's a lot is of this?
You know what issue?
If you click community, then go to high scores. It's under seasonal.
Do I have to go to seasonal?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
There's even solo Zilliana kills, wilderness PvP kills, stealing creation reward points. That one ends on August 4th. So does the Zilliana
8,000?
And PvP. Yeah.
My god. Why?
I don't
know. They want to be infamous for a day.
In Divine Nexus, someone has killed Zilliana 1,200 times.
You know, I find that hard to believe. That's got to be just a score. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, do people sleep?
Yeah, so hard to say, really. But the seasonal high score thing's definitely going to be interesting to watch, and they even have factional high scores for Ceridoman's side versus Zamorak's side in the Battle of Lumbridge. So, looks like the max score is 18-15. J1, J2, J3, compare player. let's see. Let's see, if we go to seasonal for you and I, no seasonal high scores found for these players. Too bad. All right, so moving on from that. Oh, okay.
I've killed 200,000 imps.
Why'd you kill that many imps?
They annoyed me.
All right, anything from the release notes jumping out at you guys this week?
Jadinkos were spawning in the water.
Well, that's all these are on.
And these are a couple of things that are like, what the heck? Protection pairs and Dominion Tower will no longer fully protect against any of the bosses. All bosses in Dominion Tower had their stats assessed and rebalanced. The Pest Queen's special attack can only be interrupted while wielding Kuros' sword.
Koschino throws out more insults.
What's this one? Protection prayers will now reduce against Elvergar's dragon breath by half, as in the quest. We should fight.
No, that's good.
Invisible brewing bats will return to normal when using the bow.
All right, so yeah, a bunch of Dominion Tower combat things this week. That's interesting. I'm wondering if the balancing made them easier or harder. I don't know. Reed, you got to do the Dominion Tower thing, don't you? I'll take that as a yes, but you don't want to. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, then. Moving on from this, a community poll for the divination skill cape.
You all know, if you want this show to continue, choose number 6. Because if he wins, Shane has going to get a 9 divination, which means he has to stay on the show a bit longer. Unless he no-lifes it for a while.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that one
I was saying,
farming. Well, every farming skill of the month.
I was gonna say.
I won that one.
Which one?
Hold on, Trekkie. It's in my signature.
What? Anyways, so you choose this cape, and that's the cape that will end up being used in a game for divination. So I really, really, really like Cape 6. Now, I'm not making any promises, but if Cape 6 were to win and divination was a nice skill, I might be inclined to go straight for 99 in it.
Back out of a bargain? What?
What do you mean backing out of a bargain?
Trying to weasel your way out of it.
Weasel.
Mushroom.
So currently, Cape 6 is winning with 40% of the vote, followed by Cape 4 at 20%, then Cape 5 at 18%. Cape 1 is 10%, Cape 3, 9%, and Cape 2, only 3% of the vote. So it's looking like Cape 6 is going to win, and it's definitely a nice color scheme. It's like a royal blue with a bit of
purple,
tealy green.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of what?
Tealy green.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So vote in that, and let's see that cape come into game. Come on, Cape 6. You can win. Let's do it.
I can't hear you.
Oh, sure I can.
I think you're crazy.
All right. Community roundup. Above the Lore, the next one is going to be getting the story behind the current world events. So if you want to know more about that from the behind-the-scenes perspective, you can listen to the next Above the Lore podcast. They also got their collection of RS3 music on SoundCloud. So if you want to listen to some of the exact raw files of it, you can do that. For example, the Battle of Lumbridge medley is here, as is the James Hannigan medley, which I'm guessing is one of their composers, if that sounds about right.
Yes. What's the name?
James Hannibal.
Like the guy?
Oh, no, I mean James Hannigan. I'm not sure where Hannibal came from.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll look for it.
All right. Also on the community roundup, a piece of fan art pertaining to Lumbridge before the battle, because, you know, somebody wanted to preserve what it looked like before then. So, the last memories of Lumbridge.
Wait, what is this?
Fan art. The last memories of Lumbridge.
Okay.
We will never forget the soft sound of the organ, but we will always hear it soon. Let yous pray to the gods of Gilenor to spare our lives and not make war. What god, love what being would want to destroy this castle and its memories?
Saradomin and Zamorak.
Yes. All right. Moving on from the community roundup, we just got a couple more things to mention. First up is another YouTube competition. Jagex has created a RuneScape community channel on YouTube, which is going to be pretty much any of the videos that Jagex has added in the past for videos that was sent to them. So, for example, JMod live streams, competitions, guides and tutorials, music videos, live action videos. It's all here on this channel. So they're doing a competition, and this competition is going to be very short. It's a short video competition. Videos 30 seconds long, can be anything RS-related. Just send them in, and whichever ones are their favorites will win. And they said they're going to acquire some prizes from around Jagex to give. They don't say what they are, but there will be prizes. Just email the video to communitychannel@jagex.com and make sure it's 30 seconds or less. All right. Next up, they're getting a Twitch channel, which is a streaming service which is often used for gaming, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
What people like use almost for anything. StarCraft.
Yeah. Among other things.
Yeah, so that's always interesting. One thing that they did was they provided us a schedule so that we can see what's coming up. And on Sunday the 28th, Mod Saber's player choice. Party Room, Castle Wars, or something else. The 29th will be Mod Crow on why it's must be good to be evil sometimes. And on Tuesday, Mod 7 dropping J-Mods like it ain't no thang.
Yay, ain't no thang.
Ain't no thang.
Thang.
No thang.
Thang. Got a thang in the center. Nothing.
I said thang.
It's like rush. It's no. It's thang. Thang. It's like you. It's not you all, y'all.
Yes, I got it.
Be making fun of us, other names.
Why not?
What?
I said, why not make fun of the Southerners? I mean, for what it's worth, it is a stereotype. I talk to Southerners quite often, and
apologize and say a and a boot.
No, thank you.
Drink maple syrup and have a pet moose.
That's the thing, Southerners. I don't really hear you guys. No. I don't hear the Southerners say y'all and thang that often.
You say thang. It's more Valley Girl.
Oh dear. Let's not go there.
We already went there. But
that's like,
okay. Let's move on to the next thing.
RuneFest 2013 venue announcement. The Tobacco Dock on London Docklands, distinct RS God theme. They like the venue because it's early 19th century. And it's going to be a one-day event this year rather than a weekend. I think some people are going to be upset about that. Being one day than the entire weekend, you know?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Any thoughts on that?
Venue announcement. Well,
nowhere near me, so...
I'm close to being near me.
Yeah, and you know, for people in North America, it doesn't really make sense to go to London for a one-day thing. You gotta do it,
Maybe they'll go over there, visit London, see the new prince, or... depending on how you would look at it, the new half-blooded prince, and head to Buckingham Palace and check out all the areas that Nicolas Cage was filmed in during the National Treasure 2, and then go to RuneFest.
What was that, Reed?
Not the bees. Not the bees.
Oh, okay.
You've seen that, right, Shane?
Nope. No.
Oh, no. Okay. There.
All right. Moving on from this, we got an infographic. 1 million years in the making. It's a perfect way to end up our RS3 coverage for the day. So, January 2001, RS Classic launched. April 2004, RuneScape 2 launched. July 2008, RuneScape HD. March 2013... Wow. Old School RuneScape released, as voted for by our members. And July 2013, RuneScape 3 launched. Anyone find it interesting that they put Old School RuneScape released on here?
Why not?
I mean, that is
strange.
An achievement, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it an achievement, but...
It's a... milestone. It's just,
I guess,
happened.
Yeah, 39 players join every new minute, 208 bosses killed, 307 million XP earned, 2076 cows are slain, and 61,985 weapons are crafted, which is the equivalent of equipping 10 Roman legions per minute.
Per minute?
Yeah, yep. But most of them most of them are bronze, remember that. Bronze and iron.
Yeah, but still.
Well, actually...
Also, 1441 player trades per minute as well.
The death thing? I don't know about that.
Yeah. 257?
For minutes? Low. No, I think that's too high.
Castle Wars and all the other thing too, if you count those.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Let's see, but just the signpost in Lumbridge here, it says that only 10 people have died today. But I guess that's, like, really died. So.
Wouldn't that be as, like, wouldn't that be more of NPCs that died?
No, that's, like, you die and then you respawn in Lumbridge or wherever.
Oh, look at it this way, though. 2,076 cows are slain every minute.
Yeah. And
those burgers, yeah, you can make over 300 million double bacon cheeseburgers every minute. 3.5 yep. double bacon cheeseburgers.
Now we can I wonder what their range or their time range was for this.
For what?
Yeah, you would have to aggregate it over a certain amount.
Because right now, let's see. They're only. Oh, they don't have the number of people playing displayed anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Where?
It's right up top. 54,000 people online, right above where you log in.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well. That would mean that. I bet they did that for the whole time. Because that seems too high.
I want to get to the technical side of this and then move on to the questions, which we only got two of this week. So we're doing good on time. 6.7 million man hours of development, 421,000. Lines of client-side scripting, 60 gigs of bandwidth a second, and 4,888,038 words of text available in 5 languages.
Okay, I believe that. But what is the client-side scripting?
What is that? I'm guessing that would be anything pertaining to what we see in game.
Really? Whole. Isn't that low? Oh, wait, no. I thought that is 4,000. It's 400,000. Okay.
Yeah, it's about the size of a small operating system.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Alright. That makes sense.
Yep. Alright. So. Moving on from that, we just got 2 questions this week, which is fine, because we're already an hour in. So, first one, audio question from 101Duck1.
Hey, Earth, Shane, and Trekkie. 101Duck1 here again with a couple questions. First of all, what are your opinions on the Battle of Lumbridge? How much time do you guys actually think it's worth to spend there? I mean, I signed up for the Zeradome in camp and spent a few hours here and there to get 3,000 tiers, but after that, I really started to see the event as almost an XP waste. What are your thoughts? Also, what do you guys think of birthday celebrations? Recently, I had my 18th birthday, and honestly, everyone wanted to celebrate except me. How do you prefer your birthdays to be spent? Well, that's all I have for this week. Thanks for the awesome show, guys.
All right. So, how much time are you guys spending at the Battle of Lumbridge?
I spend about 1,000, and that's about it. Over that, I don't care. Anything more than that, I don't see any point in doing it. So I just like.
But I want to do it because the rewards aren't going to be there afterwards.
Yes.
So,
and here's the thing.
But I don't wanna.
Each phase is 4 weeks, it seems. So, with that being said, 1,000 per day is a good time pace to go because you only need 3,000 for the first set of armor. Yeah. then like you might want the emote or the title. I'm not much for titles, so I'm just going to get the emote and the armor in this first phase, which I think is 6,000 total, which I can do over 6 days, which is no big deal. So, and then the next time it changes up and we get the next set of rewards, I'll do that. So I'd say about 1,000 a day, like these guys. So, because it feels slow and you're not getting much XP there.
It is slow.
It is very slow.
You're getting 5 tiers every time, maybe faster in the next couple of weeks, but it's painfully slow. I finished a movie before I would get 3,000 divine tears. Like, oh, forget it.
Yeah.
Which wow. I did. I actually did finish a movie that was an hour and a half long, and I still didn't get 3,000 tears. I was like, oh, that's a waste.
That's very sad. Did you shed any tears?
No.
I don't get it. Please explain.
Shane is deep inside. Shane wants to cry, but he. We want to admit that he wants to cry.
All right.
That doesn't work on me. I already have a puppy.
And Benny.
Is that Benny?
Wow, you guys are equating a dog to my cousin. They're very nice.
Oh, you say he's whiny all the time.
So are you.
Then what's your point? You would do anything for me.
Shane would, not me.
I would.
No.
All right. So, what about birthday celebrations? How do you guys like to spend those?
Well, my birthday's in 4 days, and I don't know what I'm going to do, so...
Oh, just go out with Casey, tell her to...
Go ahead.
Just go out with KC and make yourself feel like a man. You're still better than Shane.
The older you get, the less you seem to care. Because when you're a little kid, it's just, Ivy! And then, turning 19. Okay.
No, you're just reminded how many more years you have left until you can retire. And after you hit 21... You're kind of like, oh, cool, I can legally drink and do all that stuff that I've been doing for 3 years, but under the table. And now I can just do it legally by showing a card. And all of a sudden,
wow.
You're like, after once you've
Shane,
turned...
you're laughing at that?
Yeah, because I didn't know that
you
kind of thing would
too?
Happen under the table. No, of course not.
And then, what's the
age
other
is
thing
18
after?
Here.
And after you turn 21 here, you're looking toward 22, you're like, yeah, sooner or later, you'll have to do math to remember how old you are.
Yes, that's me. That's me.
See, how old are you, Shane?
80. 80.
26. Yep. That's right. But,
so
I agree. I generally like to keep things low-key nowadays. Nothing that extravagant. It's probably the best way of describing it. Anything else on that one?
He just wants to play with his Star Trek plushie, and that's about it.
I don't have any Star Trek plushies.
Yes, you do.
Has stuff.
See?
That's not a plushie. That's a collector's item.
Reed, send him one. I'll pay for it.
Nah, that's alright. Alright, thank you, 101 Duck 1. The next one is from Parnassius, which I will gracefully read. Hey guys, what do you think of the new armor that is going to come from collecting divine tears? I know it will be level 75 hybrid armor, but will it be useful for somebody that already has all the sets of the player-owned ports armor? Also, while disc connections have not been as bad the last week or so, there are still issues happening with a lot of players. I recently downloaded the client and usually play RS in that now, but still having problem once or twice a night. Have you heard anything about JX upgrading their servers, or are we going to have to persist with this problem? Is there anything we can do to help eliminate it on our end, or is it simply a matter of a server problem that we're just going to have to deal with? Thanks for your time. Pern. I would say if you have the port... let me say about the ports armor. It's
going in order.
If you already have the ports armor, I really wouldn't worry about the level 75 hybrid armor, unless you're going for hybrid armor in particular.
Isn't because port armor like 90 armor or something?
Yeah, isn't ports tank armor?
There's tank armor, and then there's the range one, and then there's the magic one. And as I would call it, you have to have 90 runecrafting and all the stuff to get it, so I'm pretty sure that the requirements to wear it is pretty high up there anyway.
Yeah.
So you're only going up to 75 on this one, so the port armor is still outclassed.
But is it tank, power, or hybrid at the ports?
I don't know. Never really looked into it. I just wear it.
All right. I don't do ports, so I'm not entirely sure on that. But I would say that regardless, the ports armor will be better if you have access to all three types. Because, you know, a hybrid armor doesn't have any weaknesses, but it's not as strong. So if you have access to the tank armor at level 85 or 90 for each class, I'd say just use the tank armor. That's what I would do. The next one, the server issues. Go ahead, Earth.
Well, I mean, I don't really think there's anything we can do, right, Shane?
No, not particularly. It's kind of unfortunate that that's the case, but personally, I've not experienced any server issues. So what I am guessing the problem is that for certain people, the connection between the servers is just too flaky, or the ping is too high, and that's what's causing these server disconnects. Because, like I said, I've not seen a single server issue since EOC came out. My lag has not gone up. I've not had random disconnects or anything like that. So I'm thinking it might be because of the location and just your general connection to it. So there's really not much you can do in that regard.
Pick a server closer to you, right?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
And you could go to the world list and sort by ping.
Yep, so, that would be a good option. I have always make sure you have the.
I have one that's 14.
Ping. Oh, that's nice.
And just pinging Google, I have one of 17. So Google has servers.
So sort by ping.
That's cool.
I don't have this issue, so I'm not as frustrated as everyone else. So I haven't seen this. So I guess I'm just lucky in that regard to have a good connection to World 72. So,
yay.
Anyways, thank you for that question.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, tech news. Interesting thing out of the UK this week. Their government there.
You're for
yes,
this.
What's the snicker for?
We know what you're going to say.
According
to
the Daily Mail.
In front of us.
Yes. A bold offensive in the war on net porn. So,
I'll
just
read a bit
from
this. Back to
video
porn. We have to go to a store and buy on VHS, don't you, Shane?
Support local business, man.
I know, right?
You know what I think about that?
It's great.
Should be illegal. Anyways, following a passionate campaign by this newspaper, the Prime Minister is at least taking a stand against Google and other internet giants. Yes. Passionate campaign from the Daily Mail.
Shane, click on that link, please.
Hang on, let me just read this. Taking a stand against Google and other internet giants that allow vile pornography to be viewed and traded on the web. All the evidence tells us that the deluge of violent and perverted sexual images available with just a few clicks of a computer mouse is inflicting profound psychological damage on a generation of children. So according to this, the UK government is going to be mandating that government rather ISPs, put in place a filter to block obscene imagery. Unless, of course, the person phones into their ISP and asks for this filter to be taken down.
That is stupid.
Why?
So you want me to call them, oh, hey, I want to watch some adult material. Can you let me in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's the point. Because people are going to not want to do that.
Exactly, and it's a perfect way to clean up the internet and to clean up the moral compass of society. To make people think about what they're wanting to pull up.
Yeah, but keeping up with the Kardashians and Jersey Shore are top shows, so I don't really think this is going to help.
Oh, I know, but that's a whole other thing in general with relating to TV. Don't even get me started with TV.
Shane, if it was up to you, every single channel would be Fox News.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would. Every single show would be conservative. Yes, it would. We know you long enough.
No, there would be a Star Trek channel, too. And then one for The Amazing Race.
Star Wars would be banned.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else would be banned?
Anything
according to the quote-unquote liberal agenda would be banned and censored up to hell.
No, of course not. We're not talking about censoring stuff that unless you want to. Like. We're talking.
So in other words, you want me to
call cleaning up the internet in the UK.
So in other words, you want me to, Shane, how would you feel if we would have to call in and say, hi, can I get access to these websites so I can play video games? Because video games are damaging, are killing our youth.
Yeah, don't be Australia.
If that was the case, a parent should have the right to those controls. And if you're not a parent and you're over the age, you should phone in and do that.
Why do we have to phone in to do something that's considered our entertainment?
Because it's your entertainment, someone's entertainment, doesn't mean that it should be available for everyone on the internet.
And if you were a parent and you wish they would not view these adult materials, then you would tell your son not to do it or find a way to punish them for it. For someone who has always been saying about how government should stay out of the lives of everyone, why are you telling the government they should block everything and have a spy on everyone, make sure we're all good Samaritans and good citizens?
You're kidding yourself if you think this is really going to work.
There's a difference between having a government be a parent and using this to clean up the internet. I've said for the longest time, the internet needs regulation. The internet needs laws. The internet needs more controls. There needs to be better control of who can start a website and what can be on
that
website.
Shane, why don't you start your own country and do whatever the hell you want with it?
Shane, Microsoft Asia, right?
Yes, that's right.
Is that it? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep. Anyways, I don't see how people could be against this to prevent people from seeing this when they don't want to. I mean, remember
the
story.
It's like gay rights. I'm not gay. I don't want to be gay. I don't want any part in it. If they want to do that, okay, you can do it. But stay away from me.
Let's just put this in the same context as those. Remember in the U.S. a couple years back, there was a teacher who got infected with some sort of spyware or something and had a whole bunch of porn websites pop up on her computer, and she got fired for that.
Okay.
And that's the school's fault for having a bad firewall.
That could prevent something like this here.
No, it couldn't. It's
a higher moral duty to police this kind of stuff.
Do that. It's not going to work.
China's got the Great Firewall of China, and that works quite well.
Yeah, because they just block
you just have to phone in to have it disabled.
No, you based. No, they did that for one, to make more money and to brainwash people.
No, I'm talking about this filter in the UK. You need to phone in to have that disabled.
Shane, leave porn alone.
You click on that link, Shane.
I did.
No, don't click on it.
But there was a,
yes,
you
I did.
You need to let the sound play.
No, that's okay.
He started it already. He's full. No, leave that. No, let's keep this. Let's keep this PG.
Yes.
He's already
Thank
said
you.
All of those words.
I know, but you know, don't worry about it.
I just think this is something that's been long needed, and I wish our government here would do something like this as well.
Well, whatever.
Anyways, moving on. The Google Chromecast.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten sued for this.
Why?
Dreamcast.
Oh! I didn't even think of that.
Think of what?
Dreamcast, Chromecast, you know?
Oh,
Comcast.
Yeah. Broadcast.
Oh boy. Well, yeah, if you had that patent, you could certainly sue Google for that. Anyways, the Chromecast is the $35 little thing that you plug into your TV. And then with it, you can watch all sorts of things ranging from Netflix, Google Play, Chrome, and TV shows.
Is that a plug or?
HDMI.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's supposed to make your TV into something like a smart TV.
Yeah, it's a simple version of an Apple TV. That's the way I would describe such a thing.
For $35,
so essentially,
too.
Yeah, you just plug it in. It can play content from Netflix, YouTube, Google Play, or your Chrome. So let's say you're on a website.
Is this
a playing...
subscription, or is it $35?
Nope. $35, one fee. One time, but of course you'll need to pay for your Netflix like you normally.
Well, yeah.
We'll never use Netflix.
Why not?
Because all the shows they have on there is not the shows I want right now. And there are times when I wish I could download some of the shows that I want to keep, but I can't because it's subscription based.
I see.
Yeah, I see. So, essentially, you have your phone with Google Chrome on it, you have your tablet, and you have your browser on your computer. Basically, you plug this thing in, it connects to your Wi-Fi network, and if you're browsing in Chrome, you just install the extension, then apparently it can just blast whatever's on your Chrome screen up to your TV. So, you know that you can play videos in Chrome from your computer system with the Chrome media plugins. So that works on your TV now. You can go to websites like Hulu, watch those online. That works on your TV now. Pretty much any website, anything you see in Chrome ends up on your TV screen. So this is definitely very interesting, I think, just given the fact it's so cheap and you can do so much with it. It's essentially Apple TV for the Chromebook, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that'd
it's funny
be the best
too
way
is
describing it.
What's kind of nice too is that because you know I told you before that when once you get a smart TV, and of course me, I'm the only one that actually knows how to connect it to the internet because nobody else can figure it out. So I did that, and I end up playing Chinese opera for my grandparents because they like the old stuff. They like the super oldies. I just stream up from YouTube and just like. Go onto my phone, find the ones they haven't seen yet, pop it on the TV. I'm done. Enjoy the night.
Yeah, and you could do that easily with Chromecast.
Mm-hmm. Dreamcast.
Yay.
Comparing it to the AirPlay, AirPlay can do a bit more, like, or rather Apple TV can, Hulu Plus, HBO Go, Pandora, no Pandora support. No Spotify, no Audio,
no
iTunes, but if Ardio?
What's that? It's an online
radio service.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a radio service that you use online. Well, just a different kind of music thing like Spotify, but...
wouldn't they have Google Music on there?
Yes, that is true. Anything Google will work, so you can access that through Play. There you go. It supports a good amount of platforms. The only ones it doesn't support is Windows Phone 8, because there's no version of Chrome for that. But it works on pretty much everything else. So I commend Google for doing this, and it'll be interesting to see if this is a way for them to break into that market for people who don't have a smart TV.
Maybe.
Or to put their stamp on it. Anything else on it?
Nope. No? Not
okay.
Really.
Oh, and it looks like there's a USB port on the side of it for charging, maybe? I don't know. Oh, okay.
What?
Oh, I see how it works. On the back of it, Reed, there's a USB port, and you can connect that to your TV, or you can use an AC adapter. So that's how it gets power.
Okay, what? I was wondering about that, because I didn't know. It's an USB port.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah. Then you plug it in, or you plug it into the TV, and off you go. Pretty nice. Also, this week, Google announced a new Nexus 7 with a 1920x1200 display and Android 4.3, which is a bit of a just an iteration of the current Jelly Bean, so really not that much to talk about there. Nothing overly groundbreaking. Anything on the Nexus or Android from either of you? Seeing as Earth here just bought an iPad mini.
Yeah, I have nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Microsoft admits they built way too many Surface RTs, and they're disappointed with Windows sales. So, Steve Ballmer said this, that earlier in the week. That was many years ago. But at an internal... town hall, he admitted they are taking a $900 million hit for Surface RT, and sales across Windows on various devices are not that great. So, seems as though Microsoft is feeling the pain from their Windows 8 launch, which is kind of unfortunate because I liked Windows 8. No, I liked Windows 8. Yeah. What? I thought Windows 8 is a good operating system.
You like Windows? Yeah. Shane, are you sick?
Yeah, Windows 8. No, I'm not sick.
I think you're sick.
No. All right. Also with this, they cut the price of Surface RT by 30%, which we mentioned last week. So if you're looking for a cheap tablet that's Microsoft-based, you could probably look into the Surface RT. And overall, it's Windows devices in general, so phones, tablets, and PCs. All right.
Okay,
I
cool.
think that's it for tech news. So shall we move on to the Skill of the Month update for July?
Yes. Has this changed?
All right.
Yeah, it has. Because that's Daily Graph. I'm dumb. So Zahara Knight is... Yeah, they're still in the lead with...
still firmly ahead.
I wouldn't say firmly. Because if you look at the experience, that's... I mean... Zahara Knight and Jarmandy are certainly well ahead of Flash, because they have... Zahara has 27.8 million, and Jarmandy has 24.3 million. And then, in third place, Flash, it goes down to 7.8 million. So... They're... from what I can tell about Dungeoneering, they are very close. Because it's possible to get 4 million XP plus in a day.
So. Yeah, so you're right. I guess they got to keep on their toes in the top two. There are 4 days left, so I was wrong when I thought this one was over back in the middle of the month. Oops.
Way to go.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, 27.8 million and 24.3 million. That's just staggering. So we will give honorable mentions to Flash in third place when the Skill of the Month wraps up. Seeing as that is
come on, Flash, you can do it. I believe in you.
20 million in 4 days.
Huh?
Wonder if that's humanly possible.
Maybe he used a lot of lamps too.
I don't know.
Sleeping is XP waste.
I think that'd still be pretty far off from being possible, but
I don't know.
Anyways, let us move on to achievements of the week. We got two of them this week. First up, Parnassus with 99 herb lore on the 25th, so congratulations.
Yay.
Next up,
Tim with, is this Tim, or is that another person?
That is Tim.
Okay. Tim has, he got 99 prayer on the 19th. So, go Woo. Tim! Woo!
If only he would listen to the show.
Well.
You know, these people we announce, I wish they'd listen to the show so they hear their names and they know we care about each and every one of them.
Even Tim?
So. Yes, even Tim. And just before we get to the pick of the week, speaking of Dungeoneering, we do have 4 tips for faster Dungeoneering on RSB and me Informer, courtesy of Zant. So take a read through that. Anybody who is wanting to improve their Dungeoneering game should definitely have a look.
Anyway, yep. Yeah, I took a read into his the article. It was good. A lot of things he said was true. I dungeoneer quite a bit, and he knows
You're
a bit more
dungeon.
Than I do. I said I dungeoneer quite a bit. You fool. But I was reading it. Good points. He made solid points, but I think he went a little overboard with the acronyms. Unless you do this forever.
Well, I don't know. Are.
What's this, Reed?
That's for Shane.
But they're useful.
Yeah, but most people are not. Most Dang. People just know like the top 5, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
All I know is GGS, Group Gatestone.
GGS, GT, GD, MGT, BGT, and SGT. Is that 5 or 4?
I see.
Cutting his.
Reed, right-click, give me the link to that. Thank you.
What?
To that thing, that screenshot you just sent me, and I'll fix that.
Wait, the link Anyways. To the page, or?
Yeah, right-click. That ad and send me the link.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah. All right. So, pick of the week. Who's got a pick of the week for us?
I think I do. Yes, I do. Microsoft Dream Spark.
Okay.
If you are currently in university, this will be very nice for you. Or still have a university email account, I can get, let me sign in and get some, but if I remember correctly, I can get Windows 7 Pro free, along with Windows 8, didn't they get rid of the versions with that or something, Shane?
Yeah, they did, it's just Windows 8 Pro now.
Okay, just Windows 8 Pro. I can get Visual Studio Pro 2012, all the Windows servers, Windows Virtual PC 2007. I don't know what that is, but okay. And then just a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, there's also more depending on. There's more depending on what your school has subscribed to. I know since I'm in the engineering school, I got a lot of cool stuff. So.
Yeah, DreamSpark's really great. But
that stuff is just for everyone.
Yeah. So if you're in school and you need a copy of Windows for your computer while you're in school, just do that. It's better than spending the money on it. So definitely second this idea of DreamSpark. So you just need to, of course, sign in and download what you want. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. What have we been up to? Earth, let's start with you.
I was on the show 2 weeks ago, wasn't I?
Yeah, for the Bacon Quest.
Okay. I went to Savannah, and that was fun. Had a really good time. Then came back, and I went to work. And earlier today, I went and did tech support and got a lot of money for 2 hours of work. So that was a nice surprise.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yay, money.
All right. Anything RuneScape related aside from Lumbridge Battle?
Waiting on you to give me that 50 milli. Waiting on you to give me the 50 mil you said you'd give me a long time ago so I can start on construction, but...
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll ever get that, though.
If I keep bothering you about it, you'll eventually do it.
We'll see. We'll come to some form of an agreement.
Probably includes interest.
No, I don't do that.
I would love that. 75 million.
As for me, this week, primarily just been involved in the Battle of Lumbridge stuff. Spent a good couple hours working on my UI, both the large screen one and the smaller screen one, and just running around seeing what kind of different audio I can hear and all that other kind of good stuff. So that's it for me.
Yeah.
I ended up finally getting 90 fletching. I ended up finally getting a 87 range, and I also managed to get did a dungeoneering or two with Burn. So that was good. It was a good week, and yeah, that's it so far.
All right. Did you want to mention your interface contest?
Yeah, and I have two entries so far, but you know, basically, you have to the 23rd of August to submit so PM me a picture of interface, however you want it for whatever situation. Send it to me. Total cash prize is 5 million of my money. Yes, I know. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
Okay.
So, links to that can be found on the forums or in the show notes at update.rspmb.com. I don't think there's anything else we need to mention here. So, with that being said, we'll see you next time for RSPMB Update.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.